A roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Lily Liu. Bilateral optimism. Chinese Premier Li Qiang discusses mutual cooperation and respect during his meeting with U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in Beijing. Factual rebuttal. Chinese Commerce Minister Wang Wentao refutes overcapacity accusations in EV industry at Paris Roundtable meeting. Chinese Premier Li Qiang has met with U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in Beijing. They underscored properly handling differences as Yellen rejected decoupling from China. Wang Haiyang has more.
A hopeful tone was set for China-U.S. cooperation, as Chinese Premier Li Qiang and U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said relations are beginning to stabilize thanks to recent joint efforts. Li emphasized adherence to the important consensus reached during last year's summit between Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Joe Biden and called for translating the San Francisco vision into reality. Yellen said the U.S. shares this stance and will engage in candid communication with China. The future-oriented San Francisco vision, initiated last November by the Chinese and U.S. presidents, calls on the two countries to work together for stable and sound ties. The vision's basic underlying structure consists of five pillars. First, develop a right perception of each other. Second, effectively manage disagreements. Third, advance cooperation aimed at win-win results. Fourth, shoulder responsibilities as major countries on global issues. And fifth, promote people-to-people exchanges. On economy and trade, Chinese Premier Li Qiang said the two countries' economic interests are intertwined, so their cooperation is of great significance to global growth. He expressed hope that the U.S. will abide by the basic norms of the market economy, including fair competition and open cooperation, and refrain from turning economic and trade issues into political or security issues. He called for concerted efforts to ensure stable, smooth, and efficient economic and trade cooperation. For her part, Yellen stressed responsible management of their economic relationship and said the U.S. does not seek decoupling from China. This echoes her speech in Guangzhou last Friday at an event hosted by the American Chamber of Commerce in China.
It's a fitting place for me to emphasize the strong economic ties between the United States and China. With a large and growing middle class, China represents a huge market for American manufacturers and other firms. President Biden and I firmly reject the idea that the United States should decouple from China. A full economic separation is neither practical nor desirable.
On pressing global challenges such as climate change, Li Qiang told Yellen that the development of China's new energy industry contributes to the global green and low-carbon transition. The two sides also vowed to strengthen coordination to address key global issues. Wang Haiyang, CGTN.
And at the same time, Chinese Commerce Minister Wang Wentao held a roundtable meeting in Paris during his visit to France, specifically addressing the electric vehicle industry. The meeting brought together over 10 industry representatives who provided insights into the current situation of China's EV makers in Europe. Now, during the meeting, Minister Wang emphasized the continuous progress of China's EV companies, attributing this to technological innovation, a well-established supply chain system, and increased market competition. And notably, he highlighted that these companies have achieved competitive strength through their own efforts without relying on subsidies. Minister Wang strongly refuted the accusations of the so-called overcapacity made by the U.S. and Europe, instead emphasizing that China's EV industry development significantly contributes to global green transition and climate change mitigation. Chery, a leading car exporter in China for over two decades, is expanding its presence by launching in the United Kingdom. To cater to the international market, Chery has introduced two new sub-brands, Omoda and Jaecoo. What move is part of Chery's strategy to tap into the European and UK markets, which are seen as significant sources of growth. Our correspondent, Seaborn Macau, has this report from the launch event in London.
Meet Omoda 5, the first car to launch in the UK under Chery's international brand. Available in both electric and petrol, It's a mid-size SUV that's aiming to rival the likes of Nissan's Qashqai and Hyundai's Kona. The company believes a combination of futuristic design and value for money will be a winning formula with customers.
I think in a segment where it is difficult to stand out, our cars do stand out. So I think that's a really good start. So I think that's enough to get the sort of the interest. We call it sort of affordable premium. So we benchmark against sort of a lot of the premium brands. We're trying to bring those attributes, that design, the materials, the quality, the kind of level of features that you'd expect, but at a price point that perhaps people wouldn't expect.
The Omoda 5 is expected to cost around $30,000 for the petrol model and $42,000 for an EV. Its sister brand, Jaqu, which will launch in the second half of this year, has been marketed as more high-end and rugged. Its price tag is closer to $45,000. At a working breakfast to mark the London launch, Omoda executives spoke to journalists about the importance of localisation. Omoda is already scouting out locations for a British assembly plant and says the UK is a market with lots of promise.
China became the world's top EV market last year, with around 5 million vehicles shipped worldwide. And as more Chinese brands, including Omoda and Jaqu, enter the UK and European markets, auto experts predict that China will have around a 6% share of the UK's competitive car market by 2030.
Chinese brands already operating in the UK include one of the world's biggest EV companies, BYD, along with MG and Great Wall Motor, while NIO, XPeng and Seres are among those expected to launch within the next year. But as an increasing number of Chinese cars appear on British and European roads, questions are being asked whether the influx, particularly electric vehicles, could hurt European car makers. The European Union has opened an investigation into whether Chinese EV companies are receiving state subsidies, and it could impose tariffs, something that Beijing has criticised as protectionist behaviour. And there's also the question of whether the EV market is slowing down, with Tesla reporting a sharp fall in worldwide sales and Mercedes-Benz delaying its electrification goals. Omoda still believes the future will be electric, fueled by battery technology advances, and it's working on battery sustainability solutions.
We have, for example, in this car, we have what's known as LFP technology. So it's a slightly different construction of lithium battery. It's more sustainable. It uses less lithium, less precious metals.
As the first cars are set to arrive at UK dealerships, Omoda is aiming for around 10,000 sales in its first year, and hopes to increase to 50,000 a year by 2028. Siobhan McCall, CGTN, London.
And for more insights on China's EV expansion in Europe, let's talk to Mr. Qu Qiang, a fellow of the Belt and Road Research Center at Minzu University of China. Mr. Qu, great to have you on the show as always. So first of all, how do you think will those the EU's protectionist policies impact China's automotive companies, as well as the development of its own local new energy vehicle industry that concerns employment and tax revenue?
Well, this is basically a bomb, bombing everybody, including European Union, the car makers, consumers themselves together. They're not only hurting Chinese automobile industry, but also themselves. For example, just take a look at the most popular sales, brands in the French market. Well, the number one, I think, is the Tesla. Number two is the MG. And the number three is the Dacia Spring. Well, when this ban comes out, basically the three brand of the top three brand has been all hurt. But you have to understand, the Tesla, they have the huge exposure in the European Union and the Germany, as well as MG. They have been a joint venture between Chinese car maker and European car makers, as well as with Dacia Spring. Dacia actually belongs to a joint venture, especially Renault, which is very important to French car makers themselves. So which means the government of the France are actually been hurting, using the policy, hurting their own signature car makers. And also take a look at the so-called not so much of a victim of this policy. For example, Stellantis actually seems to be a winner of this policy, because all their car sales in the European Union and in French market is not being hurting by this policy. But taking a look at that is, you know, Stellantis also have a very huge exposure and a cooperation with Chinese, you know, battery companies, with Chinese e-platform companies. And meanwhile, Stellantis also purchased another Chinese EV brand, which is a Leap Motor. So which means in the future, you know, even Stellantis itself, which is a joint venture between Italy and the French car makers, are also is going to be the victim of this policy. So nobody wins, as well as if I take a look at some other things, the technology will also be hurt. For example, right now, you know, Mercedes-Benz EV and the BMW EV and also Volvo EV are seems like to be a winner of this policy. But they are the hybrid cars, you know, old technology, old car types. So we understand the European Union is probably the most aggressive, a pioneer in the zero emission policy. Mm-hmm. They're going to achieve zero emission by 2030. So if they continue with the policy, hybrid cars is going to dominate the European, you know, market. So zero emission is going to be just a dream. And also, last but not least, the consumer has to pay for this. And the government of France is going to pay for this. They're going to pay for up to like €5,000 or €7,000 of the subsidies to this kind of a car. And also, even with that subsidy, the consumers also have to pay a huge load of the extra prices because of the shifting of the value chain outside of China and have to move into the European market. So I think this really needs to change.
Really. And so also, experts believe that in short term, these policies are going to actually hinder China's EV companies' expansion plan in Europe. So in order to compensate for the lost market share in Europe, what kind of measures do you think that these companies need to take to improve and expand their presence extensively and globally?
Well, car making industry is very important to any given market and country. So it concerns lots of the GDP, tax revenue, concerns about lots of the jobs. So I think for the Chinese car makers, they have to think about the short-term impact and try to adapt to the reality. Well, like what the European car makers and American car makers used to do is that try to localize their value chain, supply chain, and also try to form the local brand. For example, when German car brands move into China, they've been working with the Shanghai automobile companies and also Dongfeng companies and working with Shenyang car companies. So they form a joint venture and try to localize their brand and, you know, expand their market in China very successfully. So now, right now, we've been looking at the BYD, we've been looking at Axpon. They've been starting their joint venture and car making capacities in Germany, in Hungary, and formed their sales centers in the Netherlands. And I think this is a good move, a good strategy. And eventually, they've been bonding with the European car makers on the technology, for example, battery platform, e-control platform. So I think with this deepened tie with this, so-called competitor / cooperators, I think in the future, Chinese car brand and also technology brand will have a better future in a European market.
Great insights. Thank you very much, Mr. Chu. Please stay with us for more discussions later in the program. A delegation of climate diplomats from Germany, France, Denmark, and the Netherlands, led by Tony Agotha, Special Envoy for Climate and Environment of the European External Action Service, is set to visit Beijing. That is according to a report from Politico.com. The purpose of this joint trip is to meet with Liu Zhenming, the new Chinese climate envoy, and this diplomatic effort signifies an unprecedented initiative by the European Union to engage China on climate change through multinational collaboration. In recent years, China and Europe have held high-level climate meetings multiple times, focusing on discussing climate policies and fostering cooperation in the green economy sector. Trading green products and services between the two regions has experienced significant growth, reaching $56 billion in 2019, representing a 14-fold increase compared to the year of 2000. Chinese products have been instrumental in Europe's wind energy sector, contributing to nearly half of the region's wind energy generation in 2022. And as Chinese electric vehicles make a substantial impact in the European market, China has emerged as the EU's third largest auto export destination. Exports of electric vehicles to China witnessed a remarkable 150% growth in 2022. A significant industrial transformation is currently underway in northern France, a region that was once known for its coal and steel industries. The region now has ambitions to become a powerhouse in electric battery production. As part of this transformation, 4 gigafactories are being constructed across the region, including one by China's Envision ACS. Tony Waterman has more from the so-called Battery Valley on its ambitions to compete with Asian suppliers.
Despite the blistering cold of winter and the blustery winds of a raised landscape, construction on Envision's AESC's gigafactory in northern France carries on. It's the Chinese company's first gigafactory in Europe.
Here is what we call the B-zone.
The B-zone.
Yeah. This is a place to form the cells.
Project director Ayumi Kuros says when phase one is completed in 2025, the plant will churn out up to 200,000 car batteries a year, all destined for Renault. And if demand in Europe swells, there's ample space to expand fourfold.
We think it will be very complicated to import everything from Asian countries. And that's why, when it comes to the supply chain and decarbonizing transport, I think it's important to have the whole ecosystem in Europe to be able to respond to this extremely growing market.
Come 2035, all new cars sold in the European Union will have to be zero emissions, and 90% of all EV batteries will have to be produced within the bloc by the end of this decade. France has been offering billions of dollars worth of incentives to attract companies.
AESC is one of 4 gigafactories that make up France's emerging Battery Valley, located in the northern part of the country. It's a poor, rural region that was once the epicenter of France's coal and steel industry. Now, many here are hoping that factories like this will reindustrialize the region and put France at the heart of Europe's green transition.
It's a source of pride. In a region with Belgium, Germany and the United Kingdom, it's a way of putting France in the spotlight, and that's something to be proud of.
It's a good thing for the Hauts-de-France region. It's going to create jobs, which this region needs.
The gigafactories are expected to create some 17,000 jobs, both direct and indirect. But beyond that, Battery Valley is meant to rival Asian suppliers, who have long dominated the market, like China's CATL and BYD.
I think that it's more than a question of price. It's a question of technological progress. And so, it's not the company that makes the cheapest battery that will win the market. It's certainly the company that makes the most competitive battery.
La plus compétitive.
A message that will need to resonate with the big car brands in the region, like Mercedes, Stellantis, and Renault, if Battery Valley is to truly compete with cheaper and equally advanced technology from Asia. Even as some of those companies set up shop right on Europe's shores. Tony Waterman, CGTN, Douai, France.
Chinese companies have been actively engaging in collaborative efforts with European countries on various green projects, which also involves direct investment in existing initiatives. China Energy Investment Corporation is recognized as one of the pioneering companies in this regard.
In northern Greece, a wind farm project stands as a notable example of collaboration between Chinese and European entities. The project, along with 3 others, was invested in by Europe Renewable Energy Company, a fully owned subsidiary of Guohua Energy Investment operating under China Energy Investment Corporation. These wind farms mark the initial venture of Europe Renewable Energy Company into Europe in 2018. With a combined installed capacity of 78 megawatts, the project has a capability to meet the annual electricity needs of approximately 30,000 Greek households. Through harnessing the power of wind energy, the project has the potential to reduce carbon emissions by 160,000 metric tons annually, which is equivalent to planting 360,000 trees each year. In addition to operating wind farms, the Chinese company has shown a commitment to minimizing the impact on local ecology. This includes conducting comprehensive environmental impact assessment, implementing bird inspections, and preserving the ecology of mountain vegetation.
Now let's get some discussions on Europe's top climate diplomat's visit to China. For that, let's bring back Mr. Chu Qiang. So Mr. Chu, I guess the big question is, what can we expect out of this visit?
Well, I think right now we have been facing a very pressing fact on situation. We just wrap up, the COP28 last year, and we're looking into the COP29 of this year by November. But you will understand there is a very important change probably is going to happen by this November. That is a grand election in America. So we have, very confident in numbers showing that, the Republicans probably see it's going to coming back in administration in America. So we have all understanding that, if they come back, what's going to happen? It's going to be like last time. America is going to, retreat, fully from the UNFCCC and other climate change and the challenge of coping, mechanism globally. So right now, I think the whole globe and also climate change coping mechanism as well as environmental protection policies are having two most important pillars, which is China and the European Union. The both sides understand each other and trust each other to the highest level and are working very closely. And we believe green is the signature, background color of both sides of the cooperation. So if that kind of situation happened by November, I think China and the European Union have all the reasons to work together again, to face that kind of the reality. And also for the both sides, by 2030, and both sides is going to achieve the action plans, and which means we only have only 5 years of preparations for this global endeavor. And also by the 2060s, we're going to achieve a long-term target of a global, climate change, a coping situation. So I think we have still loads of jobs to do for both Chinese and the European, counterparts together. So I think that's the reason why the convoy has been sent to China at this very important juncture of the moment, because many things remain to be discussed between the China and the European Union.
And also, in which areas do you think China and Europe are complementary to each other in terms of carbon neutrality efforts?
Well, China and the European Union are working very closely with each other in this regard. I've been participating in many of the high-level dialogue myself. And for the so-called old things, we've been working very closely, for example, like the clean technologies, carbon trade, carbon captures and storage. We have already shared many of the mechanisms with each other, for example, technology cooperation, market cooperation, working very closely. And by the COP28, which is the last year, we have carried on with our cooperation. For example, we have done a very successful global stock take, which means we try to understand what kind of the working mechanism we have at our hand as a whole human community, especially between China and the European Union, funding mechanisms, and also how we can continue our protection of the Kunming and the Montreal biodiversity mechanism, as well as to carry on with the ocean protections, for example, against the plastic pollutions. So these are the new things also between China and the European cooperation in the environmental protection in the future. So I think that these are very, very doable things between both sides. And we still have very complementary, a strong suit of our own, respectively, to work with each other.
Great insights. Thank you so much, Mr. Chu Qiang, fellow of the Belt and Road Research Center and Minzhu University of China.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
And in East China's Anhui Province, an old airport is being repurposed to develop various unmanned applications, including low-altitude aircraft such as eVTOL. Our reporter Wu Bing went there to find out how low-altitude economy is growing in the province.
Feeling thirsty while walking in the park?
Hi.
Wave your hand at this cute little car and it will stop for you, so that you can choose from the drinks inside. This is just one of the various unmanned applications used in this park in East China's Anhui province.
This place used to be an airport, and over there is the old terminal building. And after it was abandoned, it was renovated into a city park. In fact, this is the world's largest city park, four times the size of the Central Park in New York.
All-man vending cars, all-man touring buses, This is the country's first demonstration project of all space unmanned applications, from the Earth to the skies.
On this vast airspace above Luogang Park, we carry out various experimental projects. We want to show everyone what our transportation system would look like in the future and how life would become.
This aircraft is known as Electric Vertical Takeoff and Landing Aircraft, or eVTOL, but it has a simpler name, Air Taxi. It flies at a much lower altitude than the traditional aircraft does. The company has become the first one in China to receive industry approval for fully autonomous passenger-carrying air taxis.
At present, this equipment is used for tourism, urban air traffic, emergency rescue and logistics, and firefighting in tall buildings. The core technology is that the vehicle is unmanned.
In December 2023, the vehicles have successfully completed debut commercial flight demonstrations in Guangzhou and Hefei, respectively. That means the vehicle can start normal flights for aerial sightseeing and local scenic spots. This is the first step towards the future of hailing taxis in the sky. Developing low-altitude economy has been written into China's government work report this year as the country maps out future industries for high-quality productivity. Anhui Province has led the development in this sector with over 300 companies already in its fold. The government said the scale of low-altitude economy in this province has exceeded 40 billion yuan, or about 5.5 billion US dollars in 2023. And that is just the beginning.
We have designated 54 low-altitude pilot airspaces and opened 43 low-altitude routes. In 2023, the province had nearly 9,700 hours of general aviation flights and 1.44 million hours of drone flights.
China on March 27th issued an action plan to promote the innovation of general-purpose aircraft equipment. Unmanned drones are expected to be used commercially in various sectors, including urban air transport, logistics, and emergency rescue by 2027. Wu Bin, CGTN, Hefei, Anhui Province.
And with that, I'm closing out this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. Thanks for being with us. I'm Lulu in Beijing. Bye for now.